The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Was on a rig and scraping. No song was told by Gino D. I grew up on K. I grew up on Ron. I grew up on R. Grew up on Elon Moxie. Really hope that you don't feel. Hope you don't feel good. I play I and me and things. I don't need my rig and scrape. I hope that y'all don't think I let it go. Hope you don't think cause I make rap music and things. But I don't let Stevie S play. That I won't play no smoky double O. My old mind will tell me how it used to be.
Tell me
how they would get jiggy and ting. Good sign of Rick and Scream. Feel like my generation eased up on this thing. Like we ain't grew up on this thing. A part of me still wanna sing. But they Rick and Scream gone, then they try to put it in a coffin. But this thing give you that feeling.
That feeling.
Where Rick and Scream gone, then we're going down with all them songs, then. I still just wanna jump around and sing songs by Ira Starr and Ting. Some of the greatest stories ever told was on a Rick and Scrapey. No song was told by Gino. I grew up on Ron. I grew up on R. Grew up on Elon Moxie. Really hope that you don't feel. Hope you don't feel cause I play I and B and Ting. I don't need my Rick and Scrape. Wonder why y'all think I let this go. Hope you don't think cause I make rap music and Ting. That I won't let be my play. That I won't play no smoky though. Some of the greatest stories ever told was on a Rick and Scrapey. No song was sung by Eddie. Phil's up and Sweet Emily. I grew up on Ronnie. I grew up on Ollie. Grew up on Elon Moxie. Really hope that you don't feel. Hope you don't feel cause I play I and B and I don't need my Rick and Scrapey. I hope that you don't think I let it go. Hope you don't think cause I make rap music and that I won't play Nita and Swing. That I won't play no Smokey though.
If I can't hear Cuckoo,
if I can't hear Cuckoo, so if I can't hear no more Rick and Scrape, what I could do. If I can't hear Sonja, if I can't play Garland, if I can't ever run a cup Bishop sing, I ain't know what I could do and what I could do. Hope you don't feel good on that thing that I forget about Rick and Scrape. I hope you don't think that I let this go. Hope you don't think cause I play Afro pop and ding. But I won't let Fred Fergie play. Or oh, Funky D don't touch my soul.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It's Monday, the 6th of October, 2025, and you are on the clock with Aaron Green. And let me just say, producer, I missed the mic on Friday. I missed the mic. But that's okay, because I'm back today, and I want to say thank you for C.A. Nuri for holding it down for me as I prepared for the 4th Future of Democracy Conference. Let's get the show started. I want to start by saying happy birthday to a couple of people. First of all, happy birthday, Karis, cousin. We hope you're having a great day today. Tell my little cousin, he got to do it up for you today. Happy birthday. And also to another cousin from another dozen, Frank Carey. Happy birthday, buddy. I hope you are having a great day today. Let's get the show started. I want to remind you of the Loyalist Charles Farquharson Will Competition 2025, open to junior high and senior students, high school students across the country to win the prize, two pieces of correct information, the government recording record of Loyalist Charles Farquharson's will and the recorded date of Charles Farquharson's death. So this is Loyalist Charles Farquharson, the government recording record of his will and the date of his death. We got lots to talk about this morning. Is a by-election looming? If the PLP is not ready now, what could possibly change over the next year? Ministry of Family Island Affairs, something going down in Crooked Island. The people say relief is on the way for Luthra consumers. Oh boy, that's a hilarious one. Also, jailbreak, the individual that escaped police authority last week has still not been detained by authorities. In today's Tribune, authorities still have not found escaped murder accused. Police were tight-lipped when asked yesterday if they had received any information to help capture an accused murderer who escaped from the magistrate's court complex on South Street Thursday. Authorities still do not know the man's whereabouts. Chief Superintendent Anton Ramming, head of the Royal Bahamas Police Force's Criminal Investigations Department, said he had no update on the prisoner, D'Angelo Culmer. He could not confirm whether police had received any tips or believe Culmer was still on New Providence. I was listening in to the text and the conversation at the end of the show. I just want to make a note. Mr. Strawn read a text critiquing the crisis center. And I have lots of venting. My mother is a volunteer there. So let me tell you, I have the world of critique for the crisis center. But before I share any critique about the crisis center ever, I remind people that there's only five people working there. There's only five people working there. And like only two of them get paid, you know? There's only five people working there. Only two of them get paid, and they've been trying to do this work for over 40 years. So it's two things. Either you can join them, commit and dedicate your time to building their programming so they could serve more people or serve more people more effectively. You could donate your resources, like your money, or technical skill, or referrals to professionals who are committed to doing an effective for underserved populations. Or you could start your own organization. See, when I got frustrated with the limited scope of the crisis center's work, I worked to start another different organization to focus on the aspects of the work that I felt the crisis center either wasn't or couldn't engage. That's what you do. Yeah? There's only five people working there. And to be honest with you, the women at the top, they're in their 70s and their 80s now. My mother works for the crisis center for free in her 80s. Start another organization to focus on the work that you think needs attention. Because y'all can't be up here beating up 70 and 80-year-old women because they're not doing the work that you think they should do. Yeah? All right, here are two texts. Your cousin, Mr. Minister Fred Mitchell, birthday was yesterday. This is my cousin. Who tell you that? If the leadership of the crisis center knows of crimes and does not bring it to the public, they become enablers. They work with social services. If anybody knows of a crime against a minor, a child, and they don't report it, see, because it's not bringing it to the public, you know. That's not their job. The job is not to bring it to the public. Your job is to report it. You have a legal obligation to report it to the authorities, all of us, right? In fact, they are required in many instances to not bring it to the public because of the nature of the violence or the crime or the incident. I spoke at Future of Democracy Conference, the fourth one, on Friday, from Wednesday to Saturday, 4 days of engaging presentations, conversations, and discourse, right? I felt there was nice attendance, but it surely was not very well attended. And given the amount of political discourse, the amount of engagement around issues like immigration and government administrative capacity and transparency and honesty and corruption and all of the issues that people are talking about regularly on the radio. In fact, I get row. You see, when I have on guests, I have texters and audience members. They communicate with me and they row me. Why are you having on a guest? We have important issues to talk about. Well, there was a week, almost a week, four full days of engagement at the University of the Bahamas, and the audience, while those who attended participated roundly, right? Like, it was a great time by everybody there. There were not enough people there. There are not enough people taking an opportunity to build their skill set, to add knowledge, right, to the work that it is that they're doing. Over the next few days, hopefully, I'm going to get some of the people who presented into studio to talk about what they presented on and why the conference itself was very important. But I can say you can go to Facebook, search Future of Democracy Conference, and search that page for the recordings of sessions that took place at Future of Democracy Conference 4. As a text, great show as usual. BPL sending that high bill to people should be considered a crime. Well, I tell you what. See, we have one organization or one grouping of people. They formed a group for the purpose of determining whether state operated within the scope of its authority, right, when it enacted this new era of energy reform and all of the particular parts and the legislation attached, right? So there's an organization that has appealed, I think, like for judicial leave to make determinations about this government decision. And that's what we have to do. Like, that's what you have to do to determine if it is a quote-unquote crime, if it is illegal, if it is outside the scope of the law. That's what you got to do. All right. Good. Aaron, good morning. You demoted Anton Ramming. He is not in charge of CDU. He is an assistant commissioner in charge of crime. I demoted him. I didn't even read his. Did I read his name in this, in the little article, in the little piece I read about the escape room, which you're referencing? Chief Superintendent Anton Ramming, head of the Royal Bahamas Police Force's Criminal Investigations Department. That's what I read, eh? I just read it from the paper. That's why when y'all hear me reading and you hear me say quote, close quotes, that's why I do that, you know. That's why I do that, so that the listener can be clear on what is my speech, what is coming from the article, and then what are quotations in the article attributed to specific people. But no, I didn't do that. But what happened, man? Why would you try to get me in trouble like that? Anyway, Crooked Island residents frustrated by decades of neglect of basic services. You know, this story is on page 7. Main page is Pinewood Tide of Years of Promise. First things first. Anybody have a job at the Ministry of Family Island Affairs? I would like to work there, please. I would like to work there, because first things first. I know the flooding in New Providence, Tropical Depression, Imelda, moving over New Providence, has exacerbated existing issues in the Pinewood area, driving residents to the point of frustration, right? And that's true. How frustrated y'all think Crooked Island residents are, and why is the story only on page 7? That's what I'm saying. Because I know Crooked Island residents have to be frustrated by decades of neglect of basic services. So I just thought that was an interesting highlight. But another question, what is the scope of the portfolio for Family Island Affairs within the Ministry of, what is it now, Agriculture and Family Island Affairs, or Ministry of Works and Family Island Affairs? What's the scope of the work taking place in that portfolio, right? looking at its pairing will give us a good idea. If it is with agriculture, then there is an agricultural marine resource element to the focus or to the work that the ministry will be focusing on. If it is coupled with the Ministry of Works, and we could get a sense that within this dispensation, the vast majority of the work within the portfolio will focus on public works and infrastructural enhancements, repairs, policies, etc., in that portfolio. But I think it was a great idea. I think it requires its own ministry entirely, because it will have to coordinate with all of the other ministries, right? It coordinates with all of the other ministries. Whatever you're doing in New Providence, you have to provide it equally and equitably throughout the family islands. And then, of course, couple that with the story in today's Guardian. BPL says relief on the way for Eleuthera consumers as it continues to face, quote, legacy challenges, close quotes, relating to electricity supply. Bahamas Power and Light said yesterday one of two new generators will soon be brought online in Rock Sound. Quote, over the weekend, one of two new generators at the Rock Sound power station was successfully tested and is expected to be brought online shortly, close quotes, BPL said. Quote, once operational, this additional generation capacity will significantly improve the stability and reliability of the electricity supply across Eleuthera. The announcement came after residents expressed frustrations over frequent outages and surges at the town hall meeting on Friday. Not just Friday. You know, not just Friday, years of it. And then I asked the question repeatedly on this show. Can BPL, can the Ministry of Works, can the ministries responsible show us, ensure that Eleuthera residents will not be negatively impacted by the presence of Lighthouse Point and the Disney excursion, given the amount of resources that they must occupy for successful, I didn't want to use the word hog up, so I use occupy, for successful operation of their initiative? And how many years has it been since Lighthouse Point started? How many years has it been since Lighthouse Point opened, the Disney excursion part? How many? And BPL is saying relief is on the way? The relief should have been there before the first cruise ship docked. It should have been there. Anyway, there's lots to talk about. I see there's not a lot of people calling the line. Let me remind you all of the number. 323-6232. 323-6232. 325-4316. 325-4316. 325-4259. That's 325-4252-300-5720 is toll-free for Family Island listeners. Toll-free for Family Island listeners. And 422-GR96. It's 422-GR96. 422-4796. Please don't be afraid to call and share your sentiments on immigration. Please don't feel like perhaps we have opposing views that we cannot talk about it. I'm really interested in why people who are very, producer, let's prep the caller, who are interested in this immigration issue didn't attend the Future of Democracy conference. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning. How are you?
Not bad. I was calling in relation to this, to BPL situation. I honestly couldn't figure out, and I tried to figure out why would BPL bills be like tripled in some cases. Mm-hmm. In my case, I've had bills that is over the wall. And I was thinking, because I realized that they are replacing a lot of the wooden pole to the aluminum pole, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if somehow BPL just deliberately do this, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't come to the public and say we are raising the bill, but what they do, they triple your bill at certain times, and then I.
Call, are you still there? I think we lost that caller. I hope you weren't on one of them new fancy fiber phones where if the power goes off and you don't have a power bank, or the power bank you got from your service provider never worked, you have no phone service. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Eric.
Good morning.
And good morning to my beloved behemoth. Aaron, there's so much in the news. I was wondering if it worth the time for me to call and speak on these issues.
Are we going to talk about incest?
Incest?
That's one of the things in the news that I was going to talk about.
Yeah, that's one thing I have some regret for, because over 26 years ago, someone asked me to put up my paper to sign their daddy bail, because he was accused by his girlfriend of trying to molest the little niece or something too. And I was reflecting on that, and I did. I said I should have leave him a couple of days and let him, you know, at least go up the road and then do that. And I had to remind the son last year, and he got sorry. You know what I mean? That, remember, you didn't own no property at the time, and remind him of that story, because I'm still trying to collect my money for my boat and my material for my stuff.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
I won't be on that, right? But you said about the crisis, and, you know, my heart goes out to, you know, your beloved mother, the hero to her, because a couple of weeks ago when my favorite former magistrate, did she ever become a judge, Cleopatra Christie? I don't think she did back in the day. But for those who don't know, she was the one who was bold enough, and she's in charge of the crisis center, right?
Yes. Well, Dr. Sandra Dean Patterson is the founder and head, and both Mrs. Green and Mrs. Christie work alongside her.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, okay. I thought Cleopatra Christie was in charge. You know, when my love goes out to her and her husband, Gary. I know them personally. And, you know, people have to understand, say, if they don't report, she ain't got no fair in her heart to report nothing, because she was the one who sent PLP representative for Crooked Island to jail for trying to bribe her when she was a magistrate. And then you mentioned just now something about the issues that the Crooked Island residents are having, and that's been going on for decades. So we have to understand, too, that, you know, with this thing, with these on the weekend, and these things of why they aren't getting to the bottom of crime. Remember, that king here, we still don't know where it is, and the person responsible for landing up in the middle of the night, less than 3 weeks after this administration took over, he's still on the force. I don't really need to call his name, and his sergeant was the one with bust the load. You know what I mean?
That's the thing, eh? That's a thing. Yeah. Family Islands are, like, Nassau people, we need to fix our mouth when we talk about the Family Islands. And when we talk about Family Islanders. And when we talk about what they go through, right? I wanted to talk a bit about the incest stories in the paper, especially after hearing the commentary on the, you know, the last end, tail end of Strawn's show. And I'm sure I think I heard somebody implying or suggesting or leaving the audience to infer that the incest problem in this country sits solely in the hands of a migrant population. And let me just say, you know, young people on the Family Island, imagine what it is like to be a young person, a child on the Family Island that is being molested or experiencing sexual violence or physical violence, physical abuse at the hands of a caregiver, a family member, right? And scared and isolated and alone they must feel, and with the limited police presence on the island, how a child could easily feel like there is nobody who can ever save them, no one who could ever protect them. And that's just one aspect. That's just one aspect, right, of life on the Family Island. Producer, let's prep the calls. I see you got a couple of texts here. One says Disney Lighthouse has its own power solar farm and backup generators, right? Okay, that's cool. We still have to examine movement into Eleuthera impacted, right, the provision of other services. Let's go. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, Muhammad. Morning.
Aaron, this situation concerning children, mm-hmm. right? It is not confined to no particular nationality.
Mm-hmm.
We accept that.
Yeah.
Right? At least I'm sensible enough to know that it's not just, you know,
yeah.
you know, concentrate on one particular nationality. But then you look at this vaccine problem. It seems as if that successive government could care less about this, how, I mean, the heinous acts are being perpetrated. Because we haven't taken any serious steps to eradicate and make child abuse history in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
Over 2 years of doing this. And I haven't gotten any, I've gotten more pushback from the system.
Yeah.
Than you can imagine. Why is this? Why? I mean, this would be, when I hear these type of instances and I hear a pastor, I remember Neil Ellis, when a husband was accused, this is the type of pushback I'm talking about. When you hear, he was discussing a situation concerning someone who had abused a child.
Mm-hmm.
Neil Ellis asked the question, what do you do in a situation where the father is the breadwinner? What do you do? How could you ask this type of question? So I knew then now that, and I can give you more pushback, you know? So it doesn't seem that we have developed an appetite to eradicate this situation.
In fact, Mr. Duncan, I'm supporting your position, and my presentation at the conference was examining the ways that the student, the customer, the citizen, the client has been decentered, right, from the very systems that's supposed to serve them. And there were a number of presentations that addressed issues facing young people. And let me just say that we apparently don't care about young people at all in any capacity. We don't care if they're safe from physical violence. We don't care if they're safe from sexual violence. We don't care if they're unhoused, if they're homeless. If you, the child homeless, well, your parents must see didn't work hard enough to take care of you. That ain't my fault, right? Like you said, how could in the question of incest say, well, what if the father's the breadwinner? The state provides services for vulnerable people who cannot take care of themselves. That's simple. If the man is abusing his child, especially if it's sexual violence, if it's incest, if it's rape of someone related to you, because that's what incest is, partially. There's some other types, but rape, incest with a minor is rape of a child, right? We obviously don't care about children. We don't care.
When you speak this type of language, they have a tendency to target the messenger. But then it's true, because I put in the work. I can't get the type of cooperation from any government in the Bahamas to address this particular problem. They wrote the Child Protection Act, and the way they wrote it, It took the Bahamas 50 years backwards, because it was passed in 2006. It was enforced in 2009. For whatever reason, they dragged their feet. It has no regulation. It has no charge. It has no ombudsman. It has nothing, no type of caveats in it to show that we are serious about eradicating this problem. I don't care what they do about it, me, but I believe that they need to look seriously. See this. We talk about crime, right?
Mm-hmm.
This 80% of all prison inmates throughout the United States of America were abused at some point as a child. So you see how the mm-hmm. wider problem that we are creating in terms of crime?
Yeah.
We don't have these type of statistics to see exactly who is being abused, these inmates. We don't do this type of scientific research. So we are contributing to crime, etc. But these backward leaders who calls themselves intelligent, they're not bringing nothing much to the table, man. They destroy this country, destroying children, they're destroying everything, and we're giving them pension, we're giving them good health insurance, and they honestly don't deserve it.
Well,
they
here,
don't deserve it.
Mr. Duncan, thank you very much for your passionate plea. Would you say just now? You say something, man, it was right in my... Oh, tension. Man, if you want your pension, you got to take the tension, eh? Thank you. Thank you, Duncan. Because I think some of these political figures don't get it. If you want the pension, you have to take the tension. Or take detention. Some of y'all need detention. Let's go to the next caller. Also, I got a text here that says, please be aware, things from smart meters are always going to be wrong as long as dirty power, that's harmonics, is being supplied by BPL or GB Power. If you see your clocks are wrong, then your bill will be wrong. If I could see a meter reader, because y'all can't tell me y'all not still estimating bills. You can't tell me that. You could try to tell other people that. You can't tell me. Let's go to the phone line. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yes, I would like to make two quick points, please.
Okay.
The first one, as you mentioned something about the by-election.
Yeah.
If I were the PLB governor, I would mess with that. Why? Because they could lose the election and they could lose the government. So they're wasting their time.
So you're saying they shouldn't go for the by-election?
They should not mess with that.
Should they just call a snap election? Should they just not? Let's not call it a snap because it's not. It wouldn't be a snap election, right? Should they make a decision to go to general election now versus a by-election? Because they have to do something. Or are you saying that they're in that spot?
If they call it, if the PLP call it a snap election, they could lose. If they wait till the 5 years, they still could lose, and nothing could change because the people are sick and tired of Braves Davis.
Okay.
One more point.
Yes, sir.
Crooked Island, The only time these governments notice the island stem is when election time. So I blame the people. They say if you love it, like it, let it kill you.
Okay, so I'm in a blaming mood today. Good morning, caller.
Great, how you doing?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, right. I put you in the incest situation, right?
Yes.
That's been going on. The
of
only
course.
Difference is nowadays is that social media and other media outlets are there to expose what was really going on. That's the only difference. Second thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
How about the drug bust in Cat Island, right? Question.
Mm-hmm.
Why would someone go on a drug deal wearing Crocs? If you look at the picture, the guy had on white Crocs. Ray would hide in the bush. You ever go on play hide and go seek in the bush before?
Listen, I
why would you wear Crocs, a white pair, a Croc? How are you running Crocs if the man gets you? Throwing white Crocs in the bush?
Yeah. So two things. Hold on. Either he did his job very, very well, or he did his job very, very poorly, eh?
That's the wrong time before I make a fashion statement.
You hear what I tell you? Good. I'm glad you didn't hear it. Second thing is this. Without intending to, because I ain't intending anything other than to say this, without like enhancing, without giving drug dealers tips, right? Let me just say that, you know, a part of the reason why the what was once known as a vibrant transshipment of drugs and drug culture in the Bahamas has shrunk is less to do with the effectiveness of government services and more to do with the ineffectiveness of the people involved in the trade.
Yep.
So, like I say, either that boy was doing his job very, very well, or he's doing his job very, very poorly. Let's go to the next caller. Oh, look at you. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
For the Guardian Talk Show.
You are on the air, ma'am. How are you?
Pardon me?
You on the air.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm good.
Good.
I was calling to say about the immigration problem.
Yes, ma'am.
The immigration problem, you know, that's something that could be really worked on better because we have a lot of young people on the family island who are intelligent and they should do training courses on each major family island for immigration officers. They live there, they know where to go, they know who to look for, and every time someone enter into the island, let them show their ID. Because you can't travel nowhere without an ID. You need to say who you are and where you're coming from and how long you're going to stay. And then they said also there's a young man on immigration, working in immigration, who is very good at his job, and he hasn't been promoted to director. He should have been the director. I won't call it. A lot of people are talking about him. And when you have a good director, why, when every election, you change in the director and you have a good director? These people, they're not supposed to be involved in politics. These workers, they're supposed to be Bahamians who are willing to see the country go further and be better. But don't put people there because of who they voted for. It doesn't make any sense. as long as you're performing well, keeping the job correctly done, leave the people on the job, let them work, and so the country could be governed better. But as long as we use in politics and everything in this country, we're going to the dogs.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. You made some great points. First of all, you're absolutely right, not because I say it as well, but because I think it's right. I think we have allowed politics to disrupt political agendas and machinations, to disrupt the effective and efficient function and operation of government. It's just happening over and over again. This whole mention that an appointee must resign, right, when the next administration comes on. And then, you know, they resign, and then the next administration appoints, quote unquote, their people. That's breaking this foolishness down. Now, so the first thing that you said, what an excellent observation, right? That you have individuals on the islands whose knowledge makes them best suited to provide that service, right? And why don't we have more presence of immigration officers on the family islands? Let's just look at sexual violence, right? Let's just look at sexual violence and the point that she made, that you have people moving in and out of islands and the residents have no idea who these people are, whether their status is good or not. Imagine that we have a serial rapist, right, that is just moving from island to island to island where they know that there's a lack of police presence, right, and the cultures in these spaces make it easy for them or likely that they will get away with what they're doing. Post-Dorian, we thought that would have been the pilot. We thought that would have been the pilot for a new era of immigration, right? Where we are conducting inter-island checks for the purpose of mitigating or eradicating undocumented migration and undocumented internal migration, where people get a work permit to work on a particular island with a particular project, and then you find them working on another island on another project, right? We can do these things humanely. Let's go to the phone line. It says, great show as usual. Incest been going on the family. Yes, Dexter. That's what we're saying. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about immigration. I don't know if you saw the article in which the article put out by some police chief from Port St. Lucie saying that the Bahamas has relaxed its immigration enforcement, et cetera. Rich, and I totally agree. I thought you should watch the documentary and watch the chronology of it. But what I wanted to highlight is the imbecility. And thanks for highlighting the short staff or the brave warriors at the crisis. Sure. We have a lot of crises, but we only have five. So we should have more volunteers post your revelations, right?
Yes, they better.
But here's what the big joke is for me, Ms. Green.
Mm-hmm.
The other day, they came up with some statistics, some data, quantification, as to related to how many school children were using alcohol and smoking marijuana and using other hard drugs, et cetera, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to frighten the hearts of the pedophiles, right? And you know this whole story about Holly Wood that I call Holly Red, right?
Mm-hmm.
As revealed by young child actors, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So we know the powers that they yield over the global plantation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what frightens me at home is the fact that everybody's shouting here and there, but I thought, I'd just like you to comment on it, because you know I respect your commentary. So what I'm saying is, I just thought that maybe we would go into the schools, because I want to frighten them, and we would question all of the underage girls and get the same information about who was smoking. We want to know who all having sex before they reach a certain age. And then, I'm not interested if the guy is 16 and the girl is 15, et cetera, or 17. I'm saying is, we want to know
between 13, 12,
yeah,
right?
And underage girls, because I see it in the community, but people are blaming certain demographics, but it's basically all, but let's solve the problem. Let's frighten their hearts. Let's show them that we're serious. Otherwise, for me, let's stop talking about it, because it upsets me. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, give thanks, yeah.
All right. So I think, what you're saying is, for those young people whose brains haven't set yet, right? They haven't been exposed enough to necessarily understand the fullness of what's going on around them, right? How do we deglamorize, right, sexuality? How do we deglamorize these things that are attractive to them and make them more vulnerable, right, to sexual violence? But also there is the other side of it, right? how do we speak to adults in a way that shows them that what they're doing is absolutely and totally unacceptable? I like how you brought in, let's prep the next caller, call I come in. I like how you brought in Holly Weird, right? Because imagine now that I mean, I'm 49, I've been watching all the TV there is to watch. The exposure of what has been happening at Nickelodeon, what's been happening with child actors everywhere, and we still have our children watching movies produced by these systems where the sexual violence is rife and proliferates. Good morning, caller.
Pleasant. Good morning, Lady Green. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you, ma'am. How are you?
I am wonderful. It's so good and refreshing to hear you on radio.
Thank you.
Bringing forth the issues, the concerns, and, you know, you are very much an advocate for greater good of the Bahamian people. And I say hats off to you, ma'am.
Thank you very much.
What I wanted to say, have you observed the fact that they clear down the bushes in stating that it would help in deterring crime and criminals hiding things and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But my thing for me is, was it just giving someone a contract because the bushes are right back up again? And what it would take absorbently for the government to keep paying there?
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, when the clearing of these bushes, because there's a lot of theft with cars. The other day, two ladies' car was stolen. They were right by Government High School in the back of the bush there, right in Government High School, right in the dorm out.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the cars, I think, was stolen from Yellow Elder. And I'm trying to wonder, if we're clearing these bushes, don't we come across all of these cars that are stolen and all the other things? So I think we need to really take a closer look on the amount of monies that are being spent to clear the bush, which is, you know, still the bushes, by the time you then clear one section, the other section grows right back up.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, is someone being generously rewarded for saying, doing something, or what happens when these bushes grow back up? That is my concern to me.
Yep.
You know, as a Bahamian person, so I'll hang up and let you
respond to that.
See if I can get some clarity from you on that issue. Thank you so much, Lady Grant.
I appreciate what you're saying. There are multiple things we could do to approach this, right? First of all, the drones. Okay, let me start here. We're always talking about jobs, job creation, and then most recently we had the Prime Minister, what do you call it? Is it poetics? Is it double speak? Oh, this madness about the job, the job report gonna look better soon, watch. It's just madness, right? But basically, he said that there's a lack of skills available, to meet the jobs. There's a lack of skills to meet the jobs that are available. So here's my thing. Why don't you create the jobs we actually need? Like, and the conversation about the unemployment. So the bush is never going to stop growing. That's the beauty of this place. That's why we love it here. It's never going to stop growing. So how do we deal with that? I need somebody to buy me a mulcher right away. I've been throwing it into the universe. I need a mulcher. I need three mulchers, two chainsaws, right? I need a cart that I could tow on the back of my car, or that I could rig a hand toe, right? I could latch it to a hand toe. Because every time there's a problem, there's a handful of jobs waiting to be created. Right? So the first things first. We still don't know what happened at Beaches and Parks. We still don't know why they went, $7 million over budget before we even reached the end of the budget year. But what I do know is that Beaches and Park services seem like they've disappeared. That makes sense because you ain't got no money, eh? You ain't got no money. But what is Beaches and Parks doing? Why are they not better organized? And why isn't Beaches and Parks, right, leasing or providing rent to buy or incorporating in the contracts that if you get a contract to clean verges or bushes, that you must have mulches, right? So that you could break down the material that you're clearing on, so that you could better package it, So we don't have to drive behind these truck with piece of plywood stuck on the side, even though the law says that if you're towing, if you're hauling things, your container must be covered, right? That's the law. But you could insist that they must have mulches to break down the trash, the organic trash, in the communities that they're collecting it, so that either they give it to the constituency office to sell back to the residents in the community they took it from, or they're able to keep it for themselves and sell to supplement the revenue that they're generating from this contract, right? Or the constituency office purchases the mulches and sends out part-time working teams to either assist the people who have the contract. So once beaches and parks, people come through and cut it, then the constituency team comes in and mulches it and does something with it, right? Because I can tell you this, miss. I can tell you this right now. I know exactly what happened. Y'all, when we cut the grass, the tree, the bush down, y'all don't see that keep growing. Every time I come back, it growing. What's the point in cutting it down? That's exactly what gone through somebody's head. So we can deal with, right? We could, the environment we're living in, see, that's why everything is always go back to imperialism, right? Because we don't even know where we're living or how to live here. This is the next thing. Why we don't have drones? Oh, do we have drones? What are they using them for? To make commercial for the police? But they should be using them for traffic enforcement, to be honest. But we need more drones. And you want a contract? We need contracts with companies that are providing drone security services for the government or for constituencies or for residents associations, but affordable contracts. Not like this foolishness where constituency offices have to pay, at least in my constituency, they have to pay $1,000 per light to have it changed. The constituency office has to pay $1,000 per light to have it changed. But what happens if poor BPL infrastructure is the reason why the light went off? See, even if somebody hit the pole somewhere down the road, that shouldn't the lights to be damaged by the commensurate or, you know, the consequential surge. And why the constituency offices have to pay $1,000 per light bulb. So now you have people in their community deciding, okay, are we going to tell our MP to commit? Let's get the caller, prep producer. Sorry about that caller. Commit this money to community programs, or are we going to just commit this money to fixing light bulbs every other week so residents could have a sense of security? Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Mr. Ray.
I'm good, thank you. Sorry for the wait.
That's great. Didn't the Minister for Beach and Park made a statement recently that he's going to be making some reloads on talk shows explaining the fact of where the money went, and that hasn't happened as yet. What's going on with that? We haven't heard from him yet.
I know, and I'm wondering, I would tell you, do not hold your breath, because the gentleman had, what, an hour and a half, 2 hours to address the matter in his budget communication, and didn't. And he doesn't need to come on radio shows to address it. His ministry can release a thorough statement, including your budget, including your numbers, the figures, the paperwork, right? Publish it and show us. You don't need to come on the radio and smile at people who can't see you. That don't make any sense.
I agree. I guess that statement he made was just a cover up, or just to say leave well enough alone until you hear from me.
I'm beginning to suspect that Keith Bell is patient zero for real. He's definitely we would have patient zero. But remember when Keith Bell had 2 hours in the House and he only spent 30 minutes talking about his budget communication?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I remember that.
Maybe that's a precedent.
Thank you, Ms. Gray.
No, thank you very much, caller. Thank you very much. Here's another text. Regardless of how you seek to refrain it, the vast majority of child abuse is among our migrant communities. You don't know that. Give me a figure. Give me a statistic. Give me a statistic before you cast aspersions. We know that we have a particular migrant group here, and there's a subset of culture, right, within that migrant group, but it seems to be a cultural thing. But you can't tell me the majority of the cases coming from that migrant community my whole life. My whole life. Even in Johnson Road where I live. All right? Y'all stop this. You play in politics while children are being molested. Unfettered. A part of my, I know I'm out of time, producer, we could prepare the music. A part of my presentation, right, I addressed how the ways in which young people have been decentered, looking particularly at the legal shift. And I didn't examine the law, you know, and the legal process, but there was an offense called statutory rape. It was called statutory. It doesn't matter whether you didn't know the person's age or not. If you are found guilty, if you are found having engaged in sexual intercourse with somebody under the age of 16, it is an offense. It is called statutory rape, right? And we've shifted that, and we now charge people with unlawful sexual intercourse. And then we had a minister who, in his attempts, I guess, to explain why, in his commentary related to a case where a junior high school girl, so I think above 14, maybe, or just around that age, was found in a relationship, there's video of everything, with an adult, right? And she gave her consent despite the fact that her consent means nothing in the law. Anyway, that minister went on in that commentary to say, you know, a seven-year-old could consent to sex, even though the law will never acknowledge it as consent. And I telling you that in a community, in a country where we know where we are committed to protecting young people, children from sexual violence, that statement would never have been tolerated. In a real place, that person would have been compelled to resign. If not from personal shame, from public pressure. It's repugnant. But that it is tolerated suggests to you where we are and who we have become. So don't bring no politics into this. Haitians doing it. The majority of people, the majority of victims are children. Just focus on that. And the majority of perpetrators are adults. How about that? And what are we, the rest of us, good thinking adults, going to do to protect these children? That's all. That's it. Tech says part of the reason he left was because he felt that it was a broken system with no desire to fix it. I can't even remember who we're talking about right now. We better have a desire to fix it. And if you don't have a desire, if you know what? Forget desire. You don't need a desire to fix it. Your God told you to fix it. Your God told you to not allow it to fester. Your God told you if you love him, then love these children. Anyway, y'all should have been at Future of Democracy Conference 4. A good time was had by all. Check out the page for the posted videos and stay tuned, because Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri is up next.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible, minds, and leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world, see how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.